This is the Fantasy Road Show.
We are live. I repeat, we are live. Welcome in to another episode of the Fantasy Road Show. This episode is brought to you by Rule One Proteins. If you don't know, now you know. Rule One Proteins is the best in the business. They got the best protein powder, the best supplements, best vitamins. Look at the muscles over there. You name it, they got it. Go check them out at www.ruleoneproteins.com. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. The podcast is available on all platforms. Go follow us on social media. You guys know the drill. My name is Truck. I'm joined, as always, by Culls and Shane O'Mac. And today, we have a very special guest for you guys. We have Ben over at the host for Sports Talk Denver. Ben, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, just living my best life, rocking. I just got this new Bo Nix jersey, and I'm just wearing it everywhere.
Clean. Yeah. It's a jersey right there.
For sure, man.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Ben asked if he needed to wear a shirt for the interview, and I was like, "Hey man, we'll pop the tops at some point." I didn't tell you that.
Yeah, he said start with it on, and then we end with it off. So I'm ready to rock. Yeah,
pop the top at some point.
Yeah,
I didn't tell you that we were sponsored by Rule One Protein. So
fits perfectly.
Fits perfectly. Yep. We gotta show our jacked up bods that we're gonna. But before we start watching football for several months and just pig out,
gain it all back. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Thanks for joining, Ben. Super glad to have you. There's a lot of things happening right now in the Broncos organization. Some new faces. Exciting time. So excited to dive into that with you. And just want to get started with, where did the Broncos fandom start, the passion for sports? Give us a little background of, Sports Talk Denver, what you're working on.
Yeah, man. Born and raised Denver, Colorado, and it's just been in my blood. I think I remember really falling in love with football in 97-98 season with Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis, Ed McCaffrey, Rod Smith, John Elway, and I've been hooked since then, and it's been awesome, knowing Truck's out in Chicago, and the Broncos have won more Super Bowls in my lifetime than the Bears have even sniffed the playoffs, and so it's hard to not be a Broncos fan when you have quarterback play like Peyton Manning, like John Elway, and like Nix, who is the fix. Bo leave, baby.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, Denver, man, I'm obviously Bears fan at heart, but I followed Terrell Davis like crazy when I was a kid. I was so impressed by how good they were and to watch good football. I did, yeah. I had a Terrell Davis jersey. I was a big fan around that time for the Broncos. So that's awesome that you mentioned those names. It just brings me back.
Well, sure. That as far as a fantasy standpoint and being early on these dudes, especially if you're in a dynasty league, the cool thing with Terrell Davis is that he got a start on special teams and he went down and made one of the sickest hits you've ever seen. And he was third string special teams. He was eating a hot dog on the sideline and he made this massive hit. And Mike Shanahan's we need him running with the ones. And so a dude who nobody had heard of all of a sudden is an NFL gold jacket kind of guy. So I think that's what makes following teams and knowing your team top to bottom so important,
I didn't know that. That's a fun tidbit. I like that.
Totally. Preseason game in Tokyo, I believe.
Yep. There's a really cool NFL films on it. See, that's why he's here. He's either fact checking me or he's got a steel trap or a lot of real ones.
Dude, Shane, did you just call that out? A Tokyo preseason game?
It was.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Shane's a savvy vet. He is impressive.
He's like a coach's son, he's the real coach's son.
Shane's a diehard, loves fantasy football. We'll talk to you a little bit about that. That's Shane O'Mac for you. So just expect those hits to keep coming. That's a great story. I didn't know that about Terrell Davis either. So coach basically was like, man, that guy's been taking his Rule One supplements. We need
100% field.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's awesome. So you're from Denver.
Yep.
Nuggets fan too, I imagine.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I got, it's kind of zoomed in on StreamYard here, but yeah, I got the pelts on the wall there and, frustrating to, alone now?
Sorry. My bad. I was trying to get the backdrop for you. What you were talking about
became there. The host there, but there that would have been scary. There we go. Michael Porter Jr. up there.
Porter Jr. Yep.
Nice. Yep. Nice.
My man. Nice. I mean, and that's crazy frustrating because I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are just such a bad matchup for them. And I really think had they gotten through that, they would have beat the Celtics pretty handily. They're, you know, the only team that had a winning record against the Celtics this year, but got to feel good about Jokic and the future of that team.
Something didn't feel right. This year, you know, it's like they just couldn't quite put that A game level play together that you're required to win a championship. But Jokic, man, against LeBron, I admittedly don't watch a ton of NBA as much as I used to. I'll tell you that these playoffs, I watched just about every game and got like sucked back in because the storylines are coming back. I fell off a little bit there. I did go see Jokic play Wembanyama here in Austin this year, and that was quite an experience and incredible. But regular season basketball is not like – it's more of a show than it is like banging bodies. And in that first series, LeBron versus Jokic, like I've never seen an NBA player – play the game like Jokic. He was banging bodies and playing dish in the right. I was blown away, to be honest.
Yeah, it's crazy because Denver had always been a Broncos city, and you just see because of our dry spell and Jokic, it's starting to flip to be a Nuggets town. But I think that changes this year, I hope.
For sure. I was at a game in that arena, Nuggets. I got two cousins that are go to Boulder. I flew in, I don't know who they're playing that weekend. Anyways, we went to a Bulls Nuggets game, and the arena was rocking on a Friday night. Super cool to see. I love Denver as a sports city. The league is just better when the Broncos are good at football. It's one of those organizations. Therefore, I am a big fan. So let's talk Broncos, man. As you mentioned with Knicks, talk about the excitement. You know, there's been a lot of coach talk with Sean Payton about how he like is their guy. Like he's been his guy all along. That's got to be exciting. Give us some of that local fan base voice.
Yeah,
around Knicks.
Yeah, 100%. So I think going into the draft, once we saw all those quarterbacks going, seeing Penix get scooped up by the Falcons after the Kirk Cousins deal, you're like, what's happening?
What and happened? Yeah.
Yeah, that was absolutely bonkers. And there was a ton of smoke screens out there that the Broncos liked J.J. McCarthy. And more has come out that was an intentional smoke screen by Sean Payton. He, in the post-draft press conference, said my job in this whole thing was making people think we were going to trade up. And the second before the first round was even over, Sean Payton was on with Bill Belichick and Pat McAfee, like your grandpa on FaceTime, you know, just like the angle was awful. And he was just gushing and like stat after stat of why he loved Bo Nix and loved him from the start. And so, yeah, that is the thought of, you know, the national narrative around it is like, oh, the Broncos got the sixth best quarterback in this draft. But as more and more comes out, it's either like the biggest like JFK level conspiracy or truly Bo Nix was Sean Payton's guy all along. And you look at Bo Nix, who has the highest percentage completion in the history of college football, and then the quarterback who has the highest completion percentage over a season is Drew Brees, who Sean Payton won a Super Bowl with. So I think the parallels are there. I made the joke about a coach's son, but going into the draft, Sean Payton said what the Broncos value the most is a smart, fast processor, and that is what everyone, even his critics, say about Bo Chapman Nix. So I think we believe, man, and we're hyped for the season.
Yeah, I can tell you like him a lot. I love that.
I
think he's a winner. You know, I watch a lot of him at Auburn, admittedly not as much at Oregon. He has those, like, my stance on Nix before the draft was as a true prospect was, this guy's a winner. He's the kind of guy that like a team can rally behind, and that he's a leader of men is what I'm trying to say. And that's the intangibles at quarterback that you need to be successful. And then I wasn't like a huge fan of his physical traits. Again, a lot of that could have just been like seeing him at Auburn go through some highs and lows. Maybe like, I don't know, just being a college football quarterback. Like I didn't know how that would translate to the NFL. However, hearing Peyton talk so highly of him and how highly I think of Peyton and how I think he's just an incredible quarterback coach and has that eye for talent. I mean, I you know, it's brings me back in on Bo Nix, you know.
And even just like, I agree with the physical traits and going into the draft, I thought the same thing. He doesn't have Caleb Williams' ability to like fling it, rolling left, you know. But I think of like my favorite of the three Super Bowls was the Peyton Manning's last one against the, you know, when Von Miller stole it from Cam Newton, and Peyton Manning couldn't like throw the ball. Like he had just lost all of his physical gifts, but because he had that processor, he could put the ball where it needed to be. And so that's why I think Bo Nix has more physical talent at this point in his career than Peyton Manning did when he won us the Super Bowl. So I think that that's the hope, you know?
Yeah, he's just got that bruiser mentality, that warrior mentality. Translates well in a locker room once you win them over. So I think the system that they develop around him is meaningful. The young pieces of talent, which we'll talk about here in a second, that's going to be meaningful. And then just the success that Peyton's had in the league and instilling that in a young quarterback. It's going to be, it's going to be about confidence, and it's going to be about developing confidence in him early, because we've seen so many times quarterbacks with talent, they just get in this like quicksand that is the NFL and never really get their feet under them. So like that is to me the goal this year. Sean Payton needs to instill some confidence, get that like swagger behind like Locke. You saw it firsthand with Locke. That's a guy with a ton of ability. He just never was able to find out, kind of gain any confidence in the league. So what about these young receivers? Who do you see? You know, Mims was a guy that I think it was Sean Payton's first like real move. Like, I want to go up and get this guy. You bring in a guy like Franklin who has a similar skill set. There's news of Sutton. Is he gone? Is he what are you hearing? What do you want to see in that wide receiver room?
Yeah, I mean, it's very exciting to see Mims, like when he actually played receiver and was a focus of the offense last year. Like, he had a couple games where he was on track to be a 1,000-yard receiver as a rookie. And we know that's a hard position to step in from his college system when he really only knew one or two routes of like, he could do a fly and he could do screen passes. And Sean Payton fell on his sword and said the reason they moved on from Jerry Jeudy was because they need to give those snaps to Marvin Mims because they're high on him. So definitely crazy, crazy high on Mims. I think that is like a very high ceiling player from a fantasy standpoint and just from a Broncos making the playoffs this year. That's a guy I think we're going to rely heavily on. Obviously, Troy Franklin, a lot of people at the end of last year we're thinking that Troy Franklin could be a first round pick. So to have him fall as far as he did and have, you know, 16 wide receivers drafted before him when he might have first round talent, very excited about that. And then the thing no one is really like remembering is Tim Patrick was one of my favorite receivers ever for the Denver Broncos. He was just clutch, got a big body. You know, he was had every bit as much talent as Cortland Sutton did. And he had two seasons in a row where training camp, he had season ending injuries. And you see him still on the sideline when a lot of guys do their rehab and they don't want to be anywhere near the team. All last season, he's on a hoodie, you know, as the Broncos were making that 5-game win streak. You see him on the sideline hyping dudes up. And so I think our receiving core is pretty stacked as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, just last year we had the highest paid receiving room in the NFL and we didn't have that production out of it. And, you know, Cortland Sutton isn't doing what Higgins and Jefferson and all those other dudes are doing as far as holding out. He missed the voluntary workouts, but he came to the mandatory ones and just said, I want to finish as a Denver Bronco and I want to be here. And so I'm high on that. And then with the 7th pick, we got this cat out of Utah named Devon Vele. And people are saying like he could be the future Cortland Sutton, just a massive dude. And if you watch his highlights, you're just like, you see the potential there. And people are saying he looks fantastic.
One guy I wanted to ask you about in that receiving room who I don't think very many people have talked about, and I don't know really why, because I've seen, you know, him produce in spots, is Josh Reynolds. And I'm curious kind of what the talk is around there with that team. It just, there's not been a lot of publicity about that signing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is cool because I have so many Lions fans in my life who, when the Broncos got him, were like, oh my goodness, to move on and actually get picks for Jerry Jeudy and then to upgrade with a team first guy like Josh Reynolds, who's an amazing possession receiver. It is just really exciting that, you know, he has more touchdowns than Jerry Jeudy and there's no drama with him, where I don't know if you followed all this stuff, but Jerry Jeudy is getting in battles with Steve Smith on our Thursday night football game and like going into the locker room before the game and tweeting at him and doing weird like dance battles like he's on Zoolander or something. And so I could not be more thrilled that Jerry Jeudy is off this team and that we replaced him with a guy like Josh Reynolds, because my friends in Detroit just love the cat. So I think that's a great pickup there. So really are the big question mark for this team, especially knowing how important it is for Sean Payton, is the tight end room. And so that's we drafted Dulcich, and he showed some flashes with Russell Wilson. I think back to the Jaguars game in London, and as a tight end possession receiver, but then also his ability after the catch, he looked incredible, and he just has not been able to stay healthy. And even during these OTAs, he'd originally had hamstring issues, and he was out all of last season. Essentially, he played four games, and the hope was he was going to be back for these OTAs, and he's on the injured field this whole time with a foot injury, probably because of how he was running different because of his hamstring. And so they have this guy who Sean Payton just gushes about, number 85, named Lucas Kroll. And if you like, he does a lot of protein, like a lot of real ones. Look him up with his shirt off right now. I don't care where you are. Don't click off this video. New tab, Lucas Kroll shirtless, and you will fall in love. And Sean Payton basically said, like, number 85, everyone's checking their media guide, like, who's 85? And he said, they're not going to have to ask that question for long. So excited about that.
Full disclosure, I did not know that Josh Reynolds was on the Broncos.
Yep.
I did not either.
There's very few players you'd be able to stump me on. Just period. And I didn't know that. I'll fully admit that.
Let me ask you a quiz question. What quarterback in the league paints his nails and is a total diva? Truck? Any answer on that one? It's Caleb Williams. Yeah.
That is a fact. He is comfortable in his own skin and chooses to paint his nails. But
he does.
We'll see if he wins a championship. If he wins a championship, everybody in Chicago, all the guys I work with down at the Union Hall are going to be painting their nails.
We'll
see what happens. It's not a problem unless you start losing, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Did Kroll play baseball at Arkansas?
I'm not sure.
I think he did.
Mike, please share it. Screen share. I need to see this guy.
I think he played baseball at Arkansas, then went JUCO, and then went to Florida, and then Pitt. I don't have a picture of him with his shirt.
Okay, all right. I thought you had a picture.
You're not looking at my camera roll. Come on, man. All right,
shirtless. Lucas Kroll shirtless. Okay, yeah, he's jacked.
Right? Yeah, right. Real ones. See. Real ones. Protein right there.
Pretty jacked.
Yeah. He's no Audric Estime, but
I mean, Audric Estime is an absolute monster.
Ugh, absolutely, yeah. Man.
So let's talk. This was inevitably going to happen at some point, but I'm probably the biggest Dulcich guy.
Mm. He's not joking. No, like he is
100%
the biggest Dulcich guy you may come across on the internet that isn't a Denver Broncos truther, or Denver Broncos fan, you know?
Yeah, tell, what do you like about him?
Kirk is an unreal pass catcher at tight end. Like, what everyone's looking for right now at tight end, it's Greg Dulcich. Yeah. And, you know, there was a couple of years ago at UCLA where he was lighting the league on fire. You know what I mean? And that when that talent exists and, like, yeah, you have the injury concerns, but is that going to completely, like, riddle his career? Maybe it happens to guys, but he could very well bounce back and be a top seven tight end this year. And he's getting not drafted in underdog drafts. And Truck and I own 77% of Greg Dulcich
after like 60 drafts.
And I just want you to know, to help you, to make you feel pretty good about that, is we owned 45% of Trey McBride last year. We owned 40% of Sam Laporta last year. And that's a big reason for our 25% advance rate, which is, like, you know, very good advance rate. I don't know if you're dialed into, like, fantasy at that level, but, you know, so we'll take stands on these tight ends late because these guys come out of the woodworks and they finish in the top 10. And Dulcich is a prime example of someone who has all of the talent in the world. He's in an offense that has a ton of production that needs to be found. And he has a rookie quarterback that hasn't established a connection other than Troy Franklin in college. So rookie quarterbacks, Sean Payton, use their tight end. Dulcich is going to eat, and he's going to eat well as long as he stays on the field. So that's kind of the gamble, and it's a big one. But
well, but he never, you know, he talked in his press conference at the end of last year about why he was so frustrated with his injury, is that he'd never had injuries from middle school on. And so to have that happen when you first hit the league is super unfortunate. But yeah. I completely agree that when you see his flashes, you're like, my goodness, that Jaguars game, I think he had every one of Russell Wilson's catches, and he just led us all the way down the field and looked incredible. And I think of Julius Thomas, who was a sleeper. Dominant. Yeah. And he was injured his first 2 years in Denver, and everyone's like, oh, he's a bust. Why'd they even get him? And then he never was injured again until he moved on from Peyton Manning. And so I think, for sure, I think I'm very hopeful, but everyone just says I'm a homer about that. But I think if he heals up, man, and then you look at like a Travis Kelce who's going to be 35 next year. And you just think like that production has to drop off at some point. And, you know, Brock Bowers is a little man, right? What are your, I don't study the tight end position from a fantasy standpoint. Like you, I mean, would you say he's the best tight end in the AFC West? Dulcich is.
I'll make that bold prediction right now that Greg Dulcich will have the most receiving yards in that division.
Yeah.
And the reason is, like you mentioned that with Kelce, I think what happened a little bit last year, what's going to continue to happen in his career is for him to have another 3 years in the NFL, 2-3 years, whatever it ends up being, he's going to win another ring with Mahomes. Like he's going to win one more at least. And it could come this year, but it could come in 2 years or 3 years, and he will be on the field for that. And in order for him to do so, it's going to be a lot of the receivers doing the heavy lifting during the regular season. And then in those last couple weeks, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
So I could see that this year, Greg Dulcich, most receiving yards by a tight end in the AFC West. Book it.
Book it. I'm on it.
I love
it,
how you called Bowers a little man too. That was,
he is. I mean,
that, an angry little man.
He's just a wee little thing. I think, like, in a fight with Brock Bowers, I think I would win because I eat real ones protein.
Yeah.
So book it.
I love that. I agree. Bowers, I think, will be a stud. I think he's going to be super versatile. I just don't want to touch anyone in Vegas until they get a quarterback situation figured out. Minshew's not the guy. AOC's not the guy. I think Shedeur Sanders would be awesome in Las Vegas.
That'd be hard for me, man, because I love Shedeur.
Just like prime time, like bring him to the bright lights of Vegas. They're about to get a baseball team. I love what Vegas sports is about to become. I think it's going to be the pinnacle of entertainment in America. And, you know, I love that there's going to be a true fan base developing there. you get to, you're going to get to play him twice a year. So that'll be fun for you in turn.
Yeah.
But I think Shador just, he's not prime time like his dad, but he's got a little bit of that swag to him.
Oh, for sure. He does.
He could take off with a team there out there in Vegas, but
So
I want to talk, I want to backtrack though and talk about the wide receiver room again. Like if we're talking like target share, it's way too early in the off season to come up with like anything concrete, but give me just like wide receiver one, wide receiver two, wide receiver three, on down the list on, in terms of production that you see.
Oh, that's so hard with the Courtland Sutton thing up in the air, you know, and just seeing like Courtland Sutton's production. I know outside of Denver, people are like, he's not a wide receiver one, but you got to remember he's played with like nine different play callers or nine different quarterbacks and like six different offensive coordinators. And he was like, had some of the best touchdowns in the entire NFL last year were Courtland Sutton. So if he does get re-signed, I think Courtland Sutton has to be the leader in the clubhouse for wide receiver one. Man, it is so hard to this.
Is there a real scenario where Courtland Sutton gets traded? Like, is that something that is still a possibility, or because he reported to mandatory camp, like we're thinking that they're going to try to work it out, and does a deal get done? Like, I guess.
Yeah. Sean Payton all along has said, I'm not worried about it. We're going to work this out. And then Courtland showing up is a great sign. But then he did this home run event for a charity where a bunch of the players, baseball's not a real sport. You can back me up on that. you're a big baseball guy. But a bunch of the players like went to Coors Field and were just smacking him out of there. And he was there and they asked him about it. And he did not rule out, holding out from training camp if there wasn't a deal done by then. And you know, we bit off the bulk of Russell Wilson's dead cap money and ate the $53 million this year. And so we do have some wiggle room. We have the richest owner in sports. And so there's things you can do with, front loaning signing bonuses and doing it over time. But, if the Denver Broncos want to win right now, which I think they do, Courtland Sutton is there. If we really are doing a long rebuild and this is all about Bo Nix's development this year and we want to be competitive in 2 or 3 years, I could see a world where Tim Patrick fills in perfectly for Courtland Sutton, but that is a way bigger risk than Dulcich, because 2 years in a row, he's getting up there in age. And so I think I would love and hope against hope that Courtland Sutton is back. So I would say Sutton won. I think Mims will actually lead the team in yards just because of his speed and the way Sean Payton's going to get him the ball with Sean Payton saying like he's going to run Jerry Jeudy's routes last year. And Jerry Jeudy was targeted a ton. So I'd say Jerry Jeudy 2. And then Mims I'd too. Say, oh, Mims 2. Yeah, yeah. Thank you. And then I'd probably say Josh Reynolds, just because I don't know that much about Troy Franklin. I have heard that he struggled with drops in college, and so that is concerning. But if he balls out of control, it's hard for – I mean, rookie wide receivers don't typically get over 1,000 yards a year, right?
It's changing.
Not typically, yeah.
Yeah.
It's changing, though, because the game is becoming – I mean, you added a 17th game, but – also the game has just become so much a wide receiver one is so important now in the NFL because the game is so pass heavy. Going back to your point about Sutton not being a wide receiver one, if you consider T. Higgins a wide receiver one, Courtland Sutton is a wide receiver one.
Yeah.
Like I put those two kind of in the same bucket, and I would say like I've always liked Courtland Sutton. I just think it's not been great in Denver for the last few years, you know, like, but his talent is outstanding. I think he's like the same style receiver as Drake London. Not saying his talent is on that level, because I think Drake London is a top maybe five pure talent type wide receiver in the league. but I'm saying from a catch radius standpoint and that style of wide receiver, that's Courtland Sutton. That's what's led to all those touchdowns.
Totally.
And look at what Jimmy Graham did. Look at what a big, you know, tall receiver with a catch radius in a Sean Payton offense did.
Marquez Colston. Yeah, I mean,
the same way. Like, same height. I could see him getting creative and throwing Sutton in the slot or just in the red zone getting creative and those touchdown numbers going up, even though they were already great.
I think the famous Sean Payton blowing up at Russell Wilson on the sideline of that Detroit Lions game, Sean Payton's offense is all predicated on timing and hitting a guy the second he's open, and he is calling a play or the play that it's going to develop the next play. And what Russell Wilson was the lowest thrower over the middle, him and Justin Fields last year. And so that just told, Sean Payton talked about, he couldn't even establish the guardrails of the offense that he wants to run. And so you wonder, you remember like Michael Thomas, like being the slant god. And so that's what kind of has me thinking, like, could that be the Josh Reynolds role? Is that going to be Courtland Sutton running slants, or is he more of your jump ball type dude? And that's just what I've seen the past 2 years with Russell Wilson, because that's the only throw he could make, was that, you know, the moon ball that he was famous for. And so I'm real excited to see like the Courtland Sutton that we saw with Drew Lock that year, as you mentioned Drew Lock a couple minutes ago, you know,
gunslinger.
From what I'm hearing about the way that you're talking about the wide receivers, I need to pump the brakes on Troy Franklin then, because coming into this interview with you, I was big. In these underdog drafts, I'm drafting with Mike there. The late round stacks, because we're always getting Dulcich at the last round, and then the second round right before it, Bo Nix, and then the round right before that, Troy Franklin. So we're getting a late stack with Franklin, Bo Nix, and Greg Dulcich.
If you saw our Broncos exposure, you'd be pumped.
Well, on top of
because it's a late, it's a late draft stack that looks good. I mean, there's high upside. Our late stack last year was CJ Stroud and Nico Collins. You can find teams that rise quickly in the late rounds. And this year it's the Broncos for us. A lot of that has to do with Sean Payton. What you were just talking about, Sean Payton and the chemistry between him and Russell. Russell Wilson thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. He thinks he's God's gift. That is the exact opposite that you're getting in Bo Nix.
Yes.
Bo Nix is like, in order for me to be successful in this league and get that big contract, be that front franchise quarterback, I need to listen to that guy. You know?
Yes.
That is a green flag. I would be very happy about that as a Broncos fan. I would be optimistic about the Bo Nix experiment, and this is coming from someone who pre-draft was like, I think I said Penix was my most confident bust, but I love the landing spot for Penix now too. But Bo Nix would have been right there, was like, I wouldn't waste first round capital on him. The fact that Sean Payton is the one that did so makes me back in, you know.
All the national media are, the over under for the Broncos this year is 5 wins, and I just do not understand how we've gotten better at every single position except for the center position. There's a big question mark. We lost our starting center to the Titans. Gosh. They paid crazy. Yep, Cushenberry going there. But Forsythe was Bo Nix's center in college, and I think Cushenberry was a turnstile, like a flaming garbage heap until he was surrounded by two amazing guards. And I wasn't a center in the NFL. You probably can tell, but I think like being surrounded like that position, if you got two studs next to you, I think that just makes that position easier to play. And that's when Cushenberry was a high PFF ranking, was after we went out and got Ben Powers and Quinn Meinert. So I really don't, you know, we exchanged Jerry Jeudy for Josh Reynolds. We have a quarterback who can run Sean Payton's system. We're getting our tight end back in Dulcich. And we Jaleel McLaughlin put on 8 pounds of muscle and is just a speed running back like you have not seen. He reminds me of Jahmyr Gibbs. And the Twitter clip of him this summer I every time I watch it, I think I have my browser set to 2x speed because he his and you just have that change of pace back that Sean Payton has always had with, you know, going back Reggie Bush and yeah, who were, I mean, his he always had a speed and power dude, and I think he's got that now. So,
well, since you bring up Jaleel, I've been seeing a lot of Twitter action about. Hype for Jaleel McLaughlin and also about Javonte Williams being on the roster bubble may even get cut. So I'm kind of curious what your expectations for this running back room is. Javonte the number one running back and then Jaleel's the second guy with Audric Estime, you know, kind of in the shadows for this year, or like what's going on? Cause I saw a tweet saying, I forgot who it was. Mike might be able to dive in here and tell me, but it was 45 Javonte, 40 Audric, and then 15 Jaleel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Broncos insider. I don't know the name.
Yeah. So what's your expectations for this running back room?
I mean, I listen to the Bill Simmons podcast all the time. And 2 years ago when Javonte was healthy, or 3 years ago, he was like, get this dude on your fantasy team. His ability to be going left to right and then on a dime switch and go upfield, like he was unreal. And he had a catastrophic knee injury. And then last year he looked good at the start and then kind of petered out there. And, you know, if he can be Javonte of old, he is definitely running back one. But then in these OTAs, Sean Payton had like a 5-minute thing where he was just gushing about Jaleel. He was the one who said he's gained 8 pounds of muscle. The thing with Jaleel last year, his early production was until the NFL figured out that like, hey, Jaleel cannot pass block. And if he's in, he's getting the ball. And so then teams, when he was in, would load the box. And so he's worked tremendously hard and added that muscle. And then Sean Payton talks about he is in the Broncos center at 5:15 and he's done with his workout by the time everyone else even gets there. And he's bugging Sean Payton to like give him cut ups of film. And so there's a lot of excitement about Jaleel. But they're also saying Javonte looks like Javonte of old. And so I don't know what to think of that either, man. And you look at Audric Estime, and I didn't watch a ton of Notre Dame film, but as soon as we drafted him, have watched so much of him, and he just looks like he's constantly holding the truck stick down on Madden. And so it's exciting to think that we do have change of pace backs in those guys. But I would not pick up. I would not pick Javonte high just because he could be cut.
Yeah. So one thing I'm learning about you through this episode, and Rule One is gonna love this episode, that you like swole dudes.
I do. If their shirts off, love them. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a big fan. So Jaleel, yeah. Jaleel's got 9 pounds. That's interesting. As you mentioned, he is that kind of speed back. Putting on 9 pounds is just going to lead to more touches per game. You want to conserve a guy like that if he's not able to take those hits. But 9 pounds of muscle is no joke. Javonte is right now. What is it? Do you know his ADP, Truck? 30 something.
Yeah, his ADP is 27.
27. So like, I'm taking that. Yeah. We've taken a lot of Javonte because, first of all, I think he's a stud, and I think he stays in Denver. If you mentioned they're trying to win now, he's your best option in a win now type scenario. So I think he's staying there. And if he doesn't, he could end up on the Cowboys, or he's gonna end up in it with a team that has a need at running back. And honestly, like at this point, that's the Cowboys, and that's an incredible offense. So like, is that his landing spot? I'm not going to say that for certain, but like at RB 27 in an offense where we're already getting great capital late in drafts with Dulcich, with Nix, with Mims or Franklin, you know, and potentially Truck, we're going to have to talk about Josh Reynolds. He could be a last round dart at now, but I do like Javonte there. And then, worst case scenario, he gets cut, goes to the Cowboys. Then you have Estime sitting there, who could fill that role for sure, and then be the kind of thunder lightning type backfield that you mentioned earlier. However, I don't think that's like, I think that's like a 2 to 3 year, we're going to just develop our young guys. And almost in my mind, then Sutton goes too, because it's like, let's bring in a young core and kind of grow them in that chemistry. But if we're trying to win now, Javonte's there, Sutton's there. Let's put these weapons around Knicks, get that confidence, win some games, and then we'll reevaluate.
Totally. And Javonte, year two off of that knee injury, he is going to bounce back. And it's a contract year for him. And we know from Danny Dine, like, everyone plays their best ball when they're about to get in their bag. So I'm real confident in that. Like, if he is a starting running back somewhere in the league, I totally, if he's the 27th running back, I couldn't name 26 dudes who are better than him. So I think for sure he is a pick him up if he's fallen to 27.
Yeah, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. Like, look at what Kamara was in that offense. What, 80, 90 targets a year, something like that. Mm-hmm. So even if he splits some of those with Jahlil, there's a ton of upside from just being a pass catching back.
And the other thing, like, getting Russ off this team, I think defense is, like, new. They just knew he was not throwing to the middle of the field. And I think that just limited and stacked our box so much at times that running backs could not perform. We are the 10th best PFF ranked offensive line, and we have a healthy stable of dudes at running back. So I think you're going to see the Denver Broncos start running the ball again. Like, you know, we've talked about just having 1,000-yard rusher. We haven't had 1,000-yard rusher since Philip Lindsay out of CU a lot of years ago. So,
I love that. I have a few questions here from some roadies that are out of Denver. Told them we were having you on, and if they had any questions, one of them, who is the best Broncos quarterback since, we can do like almost like a speed question round. We don't need to dive in too deep.
Is this where we take our shirts off, or?
It is 75 in here in my living room right now, so things are getting a little hot. Who is the best Broncos quarterback since Peyton, and why?
I mean, I have all their jerseys because I believed in all of them. I'd have to say Drew Lock. Like, it was the one I was most excited about. His arm talent. He had a swagger about him and getting his backpack on. I was high.
Rapping Jeezy.
It didn't help that he was also dating the Chiefs owner's daughter.
Yeah.
In college. So his answer was Teddy Bridgewater. If Bo Nix rookie season has identical stats to Derek Carr, was the juice worth the squeeze? Derek Carr had 3,900 passing yards, 25 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions.
Oh yeah.
Shane, come on.
Yeah, I would.
We're not asking you, Shane.
Yeah, I would say that, like, as a rookie, for sure, I would say the juice is worth the squeeze for him as a rookie, and I would take that.
Shane. I was shocked that those were Derek Carr's rookie numbers. Actually,
no, not his rookie numbers. His numbers from last season. Sorry, his rookie numbers were good. 3,300 yards passing, 21 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Those are good. Okay. Next year he had 32. So, you know, 21-12 is your rookie season. Next year he went 4,032-13. I mean, if your quarterback's throwing for over 30 touchdowns, you're happy, right?
Yeah, for sure.
So let's see what else we got here. My answer was, or I think he says, what is your favorite Bronco quarterback ever outside of Manning and Elway?
Jake Plummer, Jake the Snake, for sure. Loved him. And, like, yeah, dude, he's dirty, man. And, like, a cool dude, like a really cool dude. He's a crazy good handball player right now. An Olympic level, I think. And just, he gave his heart and soul. Yep. A lot of fish concerts, I would guess. A lot of fish concerts.
Well, and he just but he also has studied it so well. To where it's a medicinal thing, right? Like, he's like, I've helped players in the league that deal with, you know, CTE or just post depression, on how to use this as a supplement and as a medicine. And I think it's one of those things that it changed his life. So now he's went all in. I mean, if you're an NFL quarterback, if you're one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the world, then you're clearly like a super passionate all in type guy. He sees something after football that changes his life and decides to, you know, put some of that money that he made into a farm and then into spreading the word and helping people, right? It's completely respectable. And I agree with you on Plummer. And then his follow-up question was, what Broncos player would you choose to have a beer with? And I just said, Jake Plummer.
Yeah. My dog's name Champ Bailey, or my dog's name is Bailey. I've Champ Bailey. Half the world is covered in water and the other half by Champ Bailey. So him, I was crazy about Tebow Mania. And again, another dude with a shirt off that, I don't know. Do we have a couple beers? Shirts off. I don't know. Who's to say? And to your Jake Plummer mushroom point, like, my only criticism of that is I think he could have saved a ton of money just like being in the dark for a long time, like Aaron Rodgers is, just like darkness retreat. And I don't know.
All that
ayahuasca.
Yep.
When is the next time you think we make the playoffs?
I feel like everyone's going to laugh. I think we make the playoffs this year, man. I just think we are not going to regress like people are saying we are. And Sean Payton won three more games with a quarterback he didn't like and couldn't run a system. I think the Chargers are taking a massive step back in all of Justin Herbert's favorite targets are gone. The Vegas Raiders don't have a quarterback, and the Kansas City Chiefs have all their money in older dudes and they're not hungry for it anymore. And you're trusting a 35-year-old tight end who is like partying with Taylor Swift. And we just see that, you know, one of my favorite Broncos commentators says like, the only way to like be hungry is if you're actually starving. Like you can't fake that desire for it. And so I think we make the playoffs this year, but the AFC is freaking stacked. Like I think the top four teams in the AFC are better than any team in the NFC. And so that's what makes it hard. Like you almost have to win the division to guarantee it. So that's the hard part. But
that's what I was going to just say, that exact point. So let's talk that through. That's 2-0 against the Raiders. That's split against the Chiefs. And then split against the Chargers, maybe going 2-0 against them.
We swept the Chargers last year. The longest losing streak we have right now is against the Vegas Raiders, which, you know, we haven't beat them since they've been the Vegas Raiders, but Sean Payton has just broken all of these streaks. I have a 7-year-old son who had never seen the Denver Broncos beat Patrick Mahomes or the Kansas City Chiefs, which is just bonkers. And we did that last year. And, you know, we held him. The game we lost to him was a Thursday night football game in Arrowhead, and he only scored 17 points on us. And so I don't know. I think they're not going to want it as bad. They've had one of the worst off seasons I can remember, with dudes getting put in prison and, or like, you know, having warrants out for their arrest. And Kelsey's, I don't know. I just don't. I think they're going to take a step back, and we split with them last year. So,
All right. Well, we've never done this before, but now that you're calling playoffs, I'm interested. We're going to run through the schedule real quick. Truck, Shane, in your head or write down win losses. We're all going to give our prediction. Just because we have been on and we're going to be having a Denver audience listening to this. Let's talk for real here. And starting week one at Seattle. Ben, you can go ahead and say yours out loud as we go. So
yes,
at Seattle,
Denver Broncos win week one in Seattle.
Home against the Steelers.
That the pressure of that game, if that's Bo Nix to play Russell Wilson in week two, brand new uniforms, like that's going to be crazy town, man. The narratives around that, I think that's a win.
He's nails. He's the guy you want in that game. He's
built for it, man.
At Tampa, Don't say we go 3-0. Are we starting 3-0 at Tampa?
The Broncos have always really, really struggled in those 11 o'clock games east. It's just a brutal stretch. Sean Payton has gone and studied with McVay and Shanahan to be like, hey, what do teams in the West do going east? But we have a brutal stretch here with now we go to the Jets. So I'll say a loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
At Jets, same morning game against the Jets week four.
Yep. So what they've talked about, Sean Payton's just gushed about the youthful energy and how this feels like a college team. They're actually going to hang out on the East Coast and stay east. And so it won't be the same thing of like a 2-hour time change and all that. And the storyline around Nathaniel Hackett is he is the biggest, the worst coach in Broncos history, probably. And we cannot stand him. And I think the ownership group cannot stand him, and he just embarrassed us. And so I think we beat the Jets. And I don't trust Aaron Rodgers. Like, we haven't seen him play well in so long, and he's a 40-year-old dude coming off an ACL injury or Achilles injury. We beat the Jets.
Okay, 3-1 at home against the Raiders. We already talked about that. It's a dub.
Win, yep.
And Bowers is just looks
he's
like
a little man. Little man.
Boy. Little yep. boy.
Little boy. Balding little boy.
Chargers week 6 at home.
Win.
Okay. At Saints week 7. This is a nice little stretch we got here.
Yeah, that's the emotion of that game. All, you know, what's crazy about Sean Payton winning a Super Bowl in New Orleans is like being a younger guy. I didn't realize how horrible New Orleans were. They didn't win or didn't have a winning season their first 20 years in the league. And so Sean Payton getting them to the playoffs is nuts. Their first ever player going into the Saints Hall of Fame. Like, Broncos have like this thing called the Ring of the Fame, and it's hundreds of like 20, 25 names. And Drew Brees is the first person being inducted into the New Orleans like Ring of Fame at their stadium. And all the rumors are that's going to be that night. They'll have a little montage video for Sean Payton. It's a short week. It's a Thursday night game. That's a loss.
Carolina at home.
Easiest game on the schedule. That's a win.
At Baltimore, at Kansas City, 9-10.
Yeah. I think we could have a 2-game losing streak right there.
Yeah. Home against the Falcons.
Come back, win. You like that, Kirk? I do.
At Vegas. Are they going out partying, that young team? Or are they disciplined, staying locked in?
Both. They're going to party and then win.
Love it. And then party again, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Home week 13. 14 is a bye. Week 13, we got the Browns Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I think the train will be off the track at that point for the Browns. I have zero confidence in Deshaun, and my back hurts and I need to go to masseuse just thinking about him. And so I think we beat the Browns, because by that point, I think the culture will be totally eroded, and I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Love it. Home against the Colts.
Coming off a bye, that's got to be a win for AFC standing, and Sean Payton off a bye is great.
This is a tough end to the year. You got Chargers, at Bengals next two.
Yeah, Chargers win, Bengals loss. The going to Cincinnati and going to Baltimore is just a brutal, like, to have to do both of those sucks.
Yep. And then at home against the Chiefs,
arguably
division could be on the line.
Yeah, I think the hope there is that the Chiefs are resting dudes, guys are hurt. So, I mean, I would say we win that game.
Okay, I didn't keep track of how many wins you put up. Do you know how many wins? What your record was there?
Not a math guy. No, I have. If it's like I've done in my, I have the Broncos winning 11 games this year.
11 games. That's what I have for the Bears. We've already done them. We haven't done any other team yet. Going through here, I have 7 wins.
I'm never coming on here again.
I don't want to give you my answer then.
I think that's going to be one of them. I think that's going to be more than what do you have, Shane?
I've got 9.
Let's okay. go, Shane. That's my boy. He's always been my guy.
I think seven wins is great for the well, for the Broncos.
Yeah, the national
if I was
media
a Broncos
has
fan, a... if I was a Broncos fan and I had seven wins, I would be happy because that means Bo Nix is a quarterback in the NFL. That number, what did you say, 5.5 or 5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 5.5, yeah.
If that hits under Bo Nix, you might be looking for Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean?
And so then Sean Payton might be out, yeah.
Yeah, like seven wins where they're at right now. I mean, like ceiling, sure, playoffs. Any team in the NFL can make the playoffs, let's be honest. Like the talent level is just everyone is good and can put things together. Like you can create that world for sure. And that's why the NFL is so fun, is because at the beginning of the year, there's hope, right? Where I'm at, if I'm a Bronco fan, it's like I need to see a football team that has a winning culture. I want to see that Bo Nix is our franchise quarterback, and I want to see that Sean Payton still has it, and he's going to have us in a very, like, you know, in a contending spot within the next 2-3 years. So seven wins to me, it's a seven wins, but it's a very optimistic season and a huge step forward from the fucking disaster that's been going on there the last couple of years, you know?
Yeah. But you think we are worse than we were with Russell Wilson last year? Because we won 8 games last year.
I think there's rookie growing pains. I don't necessarily... No, I don't think you're worse. So maybe I need to revisit that. Broncos are just sneaky good. They're going to win some of those games that I've knocked them down for as losses. I don't know. I thought I gave it a pretty straightforward... I'll revisit it by the time the season comes.
They got that one stretch that is really nice. You got Chargers, Saints, Panthers.
Truck, how many wins
Raiders.
Did you have?
Let's just say I'm going to be rethinking us drafting any Broncos because I think I'm going to take the under on their win total. I have met 5 wins.
Whoa.
And I know. I'm sorry. Going off of the schedule that you just listed, I have them winning a handful of games, but there's certain teams where I don't think they're going to be able to beat them.
What was
your five games. Five games.
Okay.
If it's 5.5, I'll take the under at 5.
They're going to win 4 in a row after week 4. Like from week 5
I don't think they win 4 in a row. I think they win 2, lose 1, and then win the 4th.
Yeah.
Is it because of what I said about Caleb Williams, honestly? Is this personal?
No, definitely not. It's definitely not anything about Caleb, but he wears nail polish. I'm not arguing that.
Personal.
Fact.
Yeah.
No,
I think it might be, to be honest. Truck is. Yeah. I think you're right there. well, I had a great time, man. I hope you come back on. I hope we're talking Broncos football. Let's see. Week 5 before that Raiders game, and they're 3-1, and we have you back on to just talk some shit to Brock Bowers before that big game.
Man. I'm here for it. Let's do it.
Love it. Thanks for coming on. Had a great time. I really do wish the Broncos the best here this season. I think Nix paired with Payton is something to be really excited for. You know, maybe closer to the season or at some point during the season, let's have you back on, check on, you know, how things are going. We've actually kicked around the idea of potentially having a fantasy football league of content creators. So guys like yourself, Matt O'Leary, Jets fan, you know, guys that are creating content locally for the fan bases, having a league of all those, you know, all of us, and just creating something out of it could be a fun little community. Talk some shit once teams are starting to play each other, that kind of thing. And you seem like you're down to talk some shit from time to time.
Oh, I'm good at that, man. Yeah, hit me. I would absolutely hop on anytime, and I would be down for fantasy football. And I'm great when the Broncos are great, and I struggle when we are not great. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching. Please like the video, subscribe to the channel. Go check out Ben at Sports Talk Denver. He does great stuff over there. And most importantly, everybody knows what to do. Buckle up.